Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So this morning I'm very excited to share with you on what I've really felt. Lord, is this now? Is it not the time? And I just felt it. I was meditating upon this word and really brain voor, prepping. And then I was like, yes, Lord, I feel this is what you want me to share. And so I want to share it to you, with you this morning, in obedience, the topic of obedience in the life of a disciple. So when I prepped this again, I felt it a lot the same than 2 weeks ago, where I was like prepping this, and I was like, Lord, this is not just for this church. This is for me as well. This speaks to my life, where I also need to recheck continually my heart and my faith and my journey with the Lord. So again, this morning, I'm sitting here on this front row in this first seat, and I'm preaching to myself first. And so I pray and trust, then only you will benefit from what I felt the Lord laid on my heart this morning. So I just want to open up for us in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful and that you are God and that you are steadfast and that you are who you say you are. You know the beginning from the end. You know the hairs on our heads, each one. Lord, we know how many of them fall out every day and we know how many of them grow back every day. But you know them, all of them, the number on our heads. And so Lord, how much more do you not know and care about our desires, our dreams and those things that afraid us, makes us scared. Lord, you are intricately involved and want to be intimately involved in our lives with the things that we are going through. So we give you all the praise and glory for this morning. And I pray that the meditations of my heart may be accepted unto you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Just quickly, I just want to say, Tani Kate, congratulations. You are a grandmother for the second time. I'm not aware of all the other children that you have and grandchildren, but we know that Itani and them have had their baby, I think it was last week, Monday. So can we give the Lord a hand? I mean, she, baby Oketwa has been going through a few things, struggling to regulate her blood, and we trusted that the Lord will come and heal her, and he did indeed. So she's back home now, and she's with Itani and Geraldine, and we pray and praise God for prayer. And I say thank you so much for responding on that group and praying with us. We needed that. We partnered together in prayer for God to come through and heal her as well. Amen. Praise God. It's like Apostle Eben says from Tanin, we are indeed faithful in growing our churches, but we are growing them from the inside out. So God is good. Amen. So this morning, my sermon is very plain and simple and much same like 2 weeks ago. Is there is an amphitheater of sermons, like let's say it's a bibliothek. What's that in English?
Library.
It's like a library of sermons. And this morning we are looking not at a new sermon, we're looking at something that is very fundamental, and we see within Scripture right through from the beginning to the end is obedience. So I'm not going to endeavor this morning to place before you deep new revelation, but I just want us to look at the heart of God in the area of obedience. And I want us to place our hearts right before us this morning. I want us to have a look at that and our own lives, not just our hearts, but our lives. And I want us to take stock of how we are obeying God in this area. Are we obeying God? I want us to be frank and honest with ourselves here this morning. So, before I start this morning, I want to ask you, is there anyone here that has a testimony that jumps up in their mind with regards to them being obedient? Any testimonies? Yeah, Philip, Rochelle, come to the front, please. Come and share with us a testimony, Rakende, and about obedience in your life. Philip is from Zenin, like you heard. Right, share with us.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, my testimony also fits into what James was sharing this morning about tithing and giving. I told Dylan I'd share it, so now's the time. So as Dylan mentioned, I'm from Zanin. I've been working there for 5 years now. Before that, I was also part of this church. So that's why I'm not a new visitor, Wally. And my job is I was a blueberry farmer in Zanin, and the farming industry or the agricultural industry has been struggling a bit, and it's been going tough, and It's been hard. There's been a lot of pressure, and over the past 2 years, I was looking for another job, and really trusting God to provide and to open the great doors for me. But none of the doors ever open, so I would apply for a job and not get it, or not even go for an interview. And then just before E4 started, God really spoke to me about tithing, and I became disobedient, and because your money gets less, and we have two small babies now, or two children, and it gets tougher, and I started cutting there, started not giving as much, or not as regularly, and then it kind of dried up. And God really spoke to me about tithing and giving, and so I said, Lord, well, I'm going to trust you with this. I can't trust myself. I've shown that I can't handle my own finances, so I'll trust you. And I started giving, and literally that I got a new job in like 48 hours from sending my CV. I got an offer. And I was just to go back a bit then. So that happened, and then E4 happened, and God also spoke to me about forgiving my bosses and really setting them free for the way that they've been handling me. And I did that, and I said, Lord, I forgive them, I set them free. And God just opened the doors for me. So in 2 weeks time, we're moving to each spread, so a bit further away. But God is faithful. And just from our side, we also need to be faithful and obedient.
So in regards to obedience, so this is something that happened this week. It happened Wednesday night, Thursday morning. So I usually sleep late because I still have to wrap up work and everything, and I have to send in sports report and everything for the next day, right? And usually this happens around 11:30 to 12:00. So by midnight, I'm in bed. And I finish up my work and I get in bed and I like to meditate just before I doze off. It helps me have a more peaceful sleep. So as I'm meditating on the scripture, and it was in Hebrews, God just sent me to Hebrews and said, read the whole book of Hebrews. I'm like, I'm not going to finish it in one night. But I just started reading it, and there's somewhere in the first three chapters where it talks about how everything was put under the submission of God, and there's nothing that is outside of His control. So as I'm meditating on that, I was like, let me go get water and then call it a night and just make sure that I've locked up everything. And as I do that, literally as I exit like my bedroom door into the kitchen, I just start praying. Like the Holy Spirit really just took over my body, and I just started praying for what I don't even know. It was like someone else was in the room, and I started praying. I was like, okay, that was weird. Then I got my water and I was like, okay, we're done. Yay. And then as I wanted to go back to bed, I started praying again. I ended up praying for about close to half an hour. And I couldn't move and I couldn't break out of this trance of prayer. And little did I know that for the past week, our electric fence had stopped working. And there were actually people in our complex, and they were robbing the girl that stays next to me. So all of this is happening so quietly, and it's just, there's no sound. We can't hear them, we can't hear her. They had her at gunpoint, they took her laptop, they took all of her possessions, and at some point they wanted to rape her, and then the other guy started fighting the other guy for whatever reason, or she said that maybe she's gonna start screaming and then it's gonna cause a ruckus or whatever. So they ended up just taking the possessions and leaving. So as soon as they exit, I hear her door close, but I'm just thinking it's her. And then I'm like, okay, and then I get in bed. As soon as I get in bed, Like 5 seconds later, she knocks on my window and she's whispering. She goes, Rochelle, Rochelle. I go, Gabby, why? What's wrong? And then she's like, there are guys in the complex. They just took all my possessions. So I quickly opened my door and I got her inside because they threatened her to keep quiet until she hears their car leave. So they were still in the complex. And I just brought her in. And as soon as we closed the door, we heard the car leave. And we then went out to the caretakers and the others and we woke everybody up and we called the cops. But I just realized how in that moment where I could have just easily budged off the spirit of prayer, I could have just easily went, I'm tired, it's midnight, we've got work in the morning, let's just call it a night. But I was obedient enough to pray, and little did I know that in the spirit realm, that was helping Gabby at that point for her life to be saved and preserved and kept, you know, alive. We can always buy a new laptop, guys, and a new phone and all of that. It's a lot, but it's not, we can't get a new life. And yeah, I just, when I thought about it, I was very grateful, and I was just so humbled to be, you know, in that moment to be part of God's working, like to be yielded and obedient to God's spirit for him to do what he wants to do. And I just want to encourage us to be obedient in everything. Like sometimes you hear that still voice, you're like, later, I'll do it later, or I'll, you know, but let's just do it in that moment in time. It really, you might not even see it at that point, but it really serves a lot in the rounds. Amen.
Amen. What an ordeal. Wow, the Lord is faithful. Just thinking as well with Philip in regards to your move as well, it's not until you remained faithful in the not knowing, because you do not know for a certain period of time where you would be now, but you were faithful in the time when you were unsure. I think that's a testimony to us as well, Rochelle, like, we need to remain faithful even though we are not sure of the outcome yet. And I think I'll start off this morning, sure, this is not it's echoing a lot. It's just, I would say, obedience leads us closer to God's will for our lives. And I think that is the heart behind it. I think if anything this morning is that if we walk in the road of obedience, we will closer to God. And we will arrive at the place where he wants us to be at the end of the day. In his presence, in his will, in his ways. So, my question to you this morning is, what is obedience? So after maybe you've heard these testimonies, just in your own vocabulary and understanding, what is your one sentence on what obedience is? Maybe if you can just quickly share with the person next to you on what do you say obedience is. I'll give you a 20 seconds. Looking at the married couples, and I'm looking at the Cornell, and I'm looking at Jesus. He's like, yeah, obedience is when my wife tells me to come pack the dishwasher, and then I go and do it. Not, I do, I pack the dishwasher. My wife is the boss of our home, so she says, pack and unpack it, I just say, I said yes.
I thought
you'd
be frowny.
She says that she doesn't need to ask. He just knows. Clock's love. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, maybe you hear yourself voicing to someone else what obedience is. So, a dictionary example for us on what obedience is compliance with an order or request or law, and then submitting to that, submitting to one another, or the law that is proposed, submitting under that authority. That is what the dictionary tells us. And if I can define obedience it has to be defined with the words parameters. What's it, Afrikaans?
Parameters.
Thank you so much. Parameters. I think that's a very important word if you consider what obedience is. So obedience is parameters given in which you and I operate in. These confines, these boundaries, the safe space, this haven in which we can express ourselves or do that which is requested of us. So obedience takes place in parameters. So obedience is also an outflow of our relationship with God. I've said that in the beginning. It is not always easy to obey God. And I think for those of us that have been serving the Lord for quite some time, you know, sometimes the Lord asks us very difficult things. But I can guarantee you that it's the wisest thing that you and I can do, is obey the Lord. It doesn't matter how difficult it is. It's the wisest thing we can do. Never listen to your flesh over God calling us to be obedient. Never do that. I know it's difficult, but God calls us to rather obey Him than following our own fleshly comforts, or what the world says, or even those that are close to us, rather counsel us on doing it differently, because this will look at your finances a bit better. Or I'm just reminded when myself and Maria had to move down here, her father just did not like it for a very long time. And just to say it lightly, I mean, he was like, how can you lead you and your wife, being married for only a few months, to a place called Limpopo, Polokwane? You're gonna die. They're gonna steal all your stuff. The economy there is bad. How can you do that? Are you stupid? And so obviously he lives in the Western Cape where everything works. You know, everything is just smooth sailing and going. And I just went about going, saying, Lord, I will be obedient to what you call us. And that was extremely difficult. I cannot in words tell you this morning how difficult that was. But praise God. I'm not taking the honor for being here this morning. But we just went with what we really felt the Lord saying. We need to be here. And so we were obedient. And throughout scripture, we see God reminds us continually of why it is that we need to obey Him. We can read that from Genesis until Revelation. God continues to speak to the nation of Israel, to tell him, hey, this is why I want you to live in this way. This is why I want you to obey me in this way. It's because He's got a plan for them. He's got a plan and a purpose. So over and over, God reminds us that He will also bless us when we obey Him. And we call this almost the school of learning, or school of obedience, where God leads, He shows. I mean, there is countless examples for us where God leads the nation of Israel out of oppression by Egypt. You know, He says, be faithful, you know, smear the blood of the lamb above your doorpost. Professing your faith in me, and the death angel comes and he takes out the firstborn or the eldest in all households that does not profess believing in the blood of the Lamb. Not, you know, God comes and He tells us, but be obedient in these small things. I mean, if you were just a tra-la-la, you know, faithful believer in the law of God, following God as the rest of Israel did, and you did not paint blood on your doorpost, you would have been taken out. So there was a step of obedience that needed to be taken. And it was quite a hectic one in this scenario. You know, lives were taken because there wasn't obedience. There wasn't trusting the Lord. So more examples of this concept of obedience, we see that in the life of Jonah. As God calls him, he's in the fish and he's now finally coming to his senses and he's repenting. We see in Abraham sacrificing his son Isaac. What an obedience that must have taken. I mean, that is, if you talk about obedience having different levels, goodness me. You know, the Lord asks you to sacrifice your son, your one and only. I mean, how great of a task that must be. I cannot even imagine doing that. And then Moses ultimately leading Israel out of Egypt, out of that captivity, like I've said. I want us to look at just three brief scriptures regarding obedience in the Old Testament. And the one that I want to take you to here in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and verse 2. And God says, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being grateful to do all the commandments that I commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Overtake you. If you obey the voice of the Lord, your God. And so that's conditional. It says that if we obey, not if we obey today, it's an Old Testament scripture, which is also relevant for us today. But God here speaks to the nation of Israel for the how many time, and he says, but obey me. Obey my word. God speaks to Abraham. He says, obey me. Trust me. I'm sending you to a land. Take up your kindred and go. You do not know where, but be obedient. So when we move, we want to know where to. And when we move, we want to know the place that we are moving to. We want that that deposit to and the first month's rent paid already so that we can be there and we can go about our things. But no, the Lord speaks to Abraham. He says, no, no. You just go. Take up all your things and move. And then I will show you where you must go. So obedience and trusting the Lord, obeying Him, is not always that clear cookie cut answer and always clear for us. But God doesn't show us always what we, the end result in our obedience must be. He just calls us to be obedient. Isaiah 1 verse 18 to 20. Prophet Isaiah says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. The Lord speaks here. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are like red and crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so the Lord can do something that is impossible for us to do on our own. It's quite clear that God fends for us. And He's the one that if we obey, He will let the end result be up to Him. Let Him lead. After you've taken your step of obedience, let the consequences and the result remain on the Lord. Let Him deal with the consequences of your obedience. You are just saying, yes, Lord, I'll do as you ask of me. And then you pray back and say, Lord, but please help me. There are some consequences here. People in my family are doubting our move. Why are you doing that? Are you unwise? I say, Lord, please deal with their hearts. I'm just being obedient. My third and last Old Testament verse, Jeremiah 7 verse 23. Jeremiah writes here, he says, but this commandment I gave them, obey my voice, and I will be your God. And you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I commanded you, that it might be well with you. So the result of obedience here is that it might go well with you, that you might be prosperous. And so obedience in the scripture also is doing God's will, God's way, on God's timing. That's what it is doing God's will, God's way, on His timing. It is doing what God says, when He says it, and how He wants us to do it. And so it takes us out of the equation and in consulting the Lord and how this obedience might look, but it says, Lord, okay, we'll do it on your terms, your way, on your timing. Obedience isn't just something we know automatically when we start to serve the Lord. It is actually something that we learn as we grow in our faith, as we grow spiritually. You know, it is something that we grow and learn on how to be obedient. And so, you know, if you've just come to the Lord, there is also space and parameters for you to practice obedience in. And it's not this standard that I'm here this morning saying that we almost adhere to the same, you know, standard of obedience. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, so where is God leading you to? And what is God telling you this morning to be obedient in? And be obedient to that. Follow that. Take action. Be faithful. Our focus and our goal is Jesus telling us one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, if that is not enough for us to run after or to be obedient in year to year one day, then I don't know what is. It is a process. The Holy Spirit wants to be involved in this process. So as we are obedient and we are practicing this ligament and muscles of obedience, doesn't matter how hard it is, allow the Holy Spirit to journey with you. Because if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit within you and the Spirit of God transforming you into the likeness of Jesus, then this becomes a work. It becomes something that you try to do out of yourself, and which I, at times, still in my life, do out of my own strength. But then very quickly I realize that it becomes this sounding cymbal. It's beautiful when it's in a band and it has its place, but a klink in the cymbal is nie aangenaam klank nie. It's in your ear. And so it's, Lord, help me with your spirit to be obedient, not out of myself, not because of the people around me tell me to, but how do you want this to look in my life, in this season, in the things you want me to be obedient. My first point this morning for us, and this is a very strong thing I felt on my heart, and as I examined my life, it is that I must learn to trust Him. You will not obey a God that you do not trust. I promise you that. Maybe in your obedience or lack of obedience or struggling to obey, maybe go and examine the aspect of trust. Are you trusting the Lord this morning? I figured out that most disobedience is because of a lack of trust. And I think we can list many things under obeying God. Maybe idols, sin in our lives. But I think if we can really grasp this concept of trusting Him, we can eat a few flames. We can succeed very well in trusting the Lord. Because if we can trust Him and we read His word, idols won't have a place in our lives. Sin won't be prevalent in our lives. Because we want to obey Him. And we want to obey Him because we trust Him. Because when He tells us to go left, yes, Lord, I obey You. I'll go left. No, Lord, it takes me out of this lane where I can see my retirement annuity. No, You're asking me to take this leap of faith. No, Lord, I actually want to go right. Because I can see I'm lining myself up here for 20 million rand. Or early retirement, or luscious life. I said, Lord, no, go left. Yes, Lord, I trust You. I'll go left, because I know You've got a plan and a purpose. My second point this morning is we must learn to wait upon the Lord. And this is something that Dylan Stanley is struggling with at this stage in my life. Is learning to wait upon the Lord. And it looks in various ways. Being quiet in the morning. And I'm an advocate for being quiet in quiet times, looking like early in the morning. Because as soon as that clock hits 7 o'clock, the time, you know, the day starts. And then my wife needs this, and I need to attend to that meeting, and I need to think of all of these lists I need to do today and this week. And so I'm just an advocate that we must wait upon the Lord, and a part of waiting upon the Lord is being quiet with Him. And that, I believe, is to be up early in the mornings. And so just quickly, on obedience, and maybe I've missed it in my testimony, is that the Lord for a long period of time in my life woke me up very early in the morning. And I realized that it was such a fruitful time where He would lead me in interceding and praying for people in places that I a lot of times did not even know existed, or people that I didn't even know. He just called me to a town in the spirit. I just had this church's name, and I just prayed for it. And then other times, people in my surrounding, I just prayed for them, for specific things, which I did not always do, but the Lord dropped it in my spirit, and I remember it was such a fruitful time. And when the Lord woke me, it was like, boom, I was just awake. It's not like you're getting the slumber out of your eye, the sleep out of your eye, and you're starting to wake and get a coffee and, you know, start the quiet time, you know, in fifth gear. It's like, I'm there, I'm busy, I'm awake. And then that continued when the Lord woke me, but then I would keep my eyes closed. And then I remember for a period of time, the Lord would wake me, but then I'll keep my eyes closed and I'll just fall back asleep. And the Lord took that away from me for a very long time. And then this one day, I was like, yes, Lord, I need to get quiet again in the morning, because I'm missing it too much when I don't do it in the morning during the day. I miss it too much. And I said, Lord, please wake me. I want You to be faithful to wake me up. And so the Lord started to wake me up again, until I disobeyed again and I just kept on sleeping. But it's true that if we trust the Lord and we obey Him in these small things, He's faithful. He is indeed faithful. So the following verse on us waiting upon the Lord is Psalms. The psalmist writes in Psalm 27 verse 14, he says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And so the psalmist is known in most of the psalms that is written as David, King David. And we will know that this is a man after God's own heart as we read the Old Testament. David being ordained as king in the life process until he's ordained king, and the life that he has lived. We know all the things that he has gone through, disobeying God and also obeying God. We know that this was a busy man. You know, he was a man of a statue, you know, was he tending the sheep in the field? And then as he grew older, he became king, a commander of armies. And we know that this was quite a busy man. And so how much not more weight this carries? Yes, it being in the Word of God, the Scriptures, it's alive and breathing. But a man of his astute, that is busy, that has got a lot on his plate, governing his nation and his armies, he tells us today, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. And then he says, wait for the Lord. So if King David says it, I think we must obey it. God preserved that thus for us through the Scriptures. Let us look in earnestness to that Psalm 27. So let's learn to trust the Lord. First point. Second point, learn to wait upon the Lord. And then let's remember that we need to meditate on God's Word. Third point, we need to meditate on God's Word. Now, how do you get familiarized with God's Word? So if we think of meditation, we think of opening God's Word, and as Rochelle said, opening up to Hebrews, but meditating through Scripture. So it's not this New Age meditation where we meditate to nothingness. No, we meditate to quietness in the Scriptures with the Lord. And so how does that look? So how do we get familiarized with meditation or reading the Word? It's not just by having our Bibles on our bed shelf or on our bookshelf as it gathers dust and it's there, knowing that it's there, you know, the faithful Scriptures of the Lord. But it's actually that we take it off, that we dust it off, we open it up, and we start to read it. If you don't understand the Word of God, and please understand or take a bit with salt what I'm saying, that if you do not understand the Word of God this morning, you know, as you would read it and it doesn't make sense, I just wanted to tell you that welcome to the club. Because a lot of us don't, you know, and a lot of the times we don't understand it, because then if we don't understand it, we just don't bother to open it. We don't read it because the prophets said some things in this light, in this way, and then God speaks to the nation of Israel, then there's a lot of promiscuity, and it's like, yes, this, all of these things doesn't add up, it doesn't make sense, and it's contradictory. But if we go and set time aside, if we go and ask our spiritual leaders, or our spiritual friends, those that have been reading the Word for a long time, and we ask them to lead us through this, understanding the order of the Scriptures, and why this, and why that, we will know what the Word says. And then we can meditate on God's Word. And so I want to tell you that it is difficult. It's difficult for all of us. But don't just sit there and not read the Word. Don't run away, but run to the Scriptures. Be faithful in reading the Scriptures. I remember in my theological studies, the dean of the college said, and he was a very learned man. He loved the Lord so much, and he was learnedness in academics. But he knew this very well. He knew the Scriptures very well. And I looked up to him, and this one day he came to class and he taught us, and he said, you know, when I just studied, I was making it relevant for us in that classroom that morning. He said, when I was your age, and when I studied theology, reading the Word, you know, there was times where I would read and I would just throw the Bible, throw the books that I had to read. I just threw them away because I was so frustrated, because I did not understand the content of it. I got distracted, and I just left the Word. I would come back later, but he was so frustrated. And I just wanted to tell you that frustration is okay. It's normal. It's a part of the daily life. It's a part of our daily reading the Word life. So God calls us to put time aside faithfully. And I can promise you, if you do that, you will start to learn the Scriptures. You will start to fit the puzzles. That's why we also, as a church in the future, we want to have Bible school. We're trusting that the Lord will give us members that can help us introduce Bible school to us as a church, so that we can equip them, so we can read and understand the Scriptures. Just wanted to say that we do not need Bible school to understand the Word. You can just go read this for the rest of your life and you'll be okay. God says that in His Word. It says the Holy Spirit says that, God says that His Spirit comes and He teaches us all things. We do not need to be taught by man to understand these things. Not now saying that we need not to be open to be taught and to position ourselves strategically to be taught by spiritual people. The Word says that the Holy Spirit is faithful to teach us His Word. Scriptures is alive, breathing. And moving on. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and he will make straight your path. I want us to take us to that first word in that first verse. It says trust in the Lord. The first thing in this word, in this verse, jumps to mind. It says that we need to trust the Lord. In verse 6, he is trustworthy. We need to remind ourselves of this. Like I've said in my first point, he is trustworthy. I promise you that. We have to settle this truth in our hearts. Trust him. He is a sovereign God. He's ruler of this age. He is trustworthy. He is a promise keeper. He's always the same. He's unwavering. He never changes. He is the same. I think you've got an emotional day. Not God. He is faithful. If we can master trusting God, everything else in our lives, like a puzzle, will fit into place. This is God's word. And so this morning, I want to end off with this awesome piece of text in Matthew 21, verse 23 to 27. And I want you to open up your Bibles, and I want to read with you the parable of the two sons. And so as I read this this week, it really cut me. I was like, yes, Lord, this is not comfortable. This is really not like it. And so I want us to read through this, and I've got a few points that I just want to highlight for us this morning. And in the light of obedience, I want us to read this text this morning. I'm going to read for us just before the parable of the two sons. I'm going to read from verse 23. So the parable of the two sons are from verse 28, but we can read from verse 23 just to have a bit of a background and context. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching, now Jesus, and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" And Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question." I laughed when I read this. So they asked Jesus a question. Jesus is supposed to answer this question, but you know what he does? He asks them a question back. Now Jesus asked them, "I also will ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you what authority I do these things in. The baptism of John, from where did this come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, you will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." Verse 27, "So they answered Jesus, 'We do not know.' And he said to them, 'Neither will I tell you what authority I do these things in.'" And then Jesus speaks of this parable and says, "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I will go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" Jesus asked. So they said, "The first, of course." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your mind and believed in him." And so this is a very dense piece of text. And I'm not going to teach you something new here this morning. But what I want to bring under your attention this morning with regards to parables within the scriptures, two important things to always remember when we read a parable, is that a parable never means more, most of the times, more than two things. The meaning behind it, it's not something unknown to us. It's not something that God has said and now he wants to perplex us and makes us confused. But it is something that God places there strategically. This is Jesus' words for us to know the truth. And so another thing, so that's one thing, He said that usually, generally, it does not mean more than two different things. And then second to that, parables are a fictional story conveying a spiritual truth. So it's a fictional story conveying a spiritual truth. So what is this parable saying to us this morning? And I was running through it this week, and I was like, yes, Lord, you're so faithful. It blessed me so much. It did challenge me, but it blessed me so much. So the parable is saying to us this morning, and we also need to be careful, because this parable in a specific context meant something specific to the original hearer and the original reader, those that were there hearing Jesus' specific words. Because this was a recording of Matthew, a disciple of Jesus, of what he has said. Now, that also means to us something specific today. Not something different, but it has a bit of a nuanced difference, because we have a different cultural setup, and we are also in different times. But nonetheless, there are two sons here we can all agree on that are hearing the same instruction from the Lord. And so these two sons represent two different classes. So the first refused to obey and said, I will not go. And we see that in verse 29, representing those who are living in open rebellion against God. So we can say that if we have shared the gospel faithfully to someone and they've turned their hearts and their ways, and they continue in their life of sin and rebellion towards God, they've heard this, but they've not responded. And so this first son represents those that are continually going in open rebellion against God and simply refusing to obey God's law. But as they hear the call again and again, the Holy Spirit is faithful to that which they have heard, make alive in their hearts, and they respond and say, I will obey the initial commandment that has been given to me. Isn't that amazing? The first son here at first disobeys his father calling him to go, and then after quite some time, if you go and read different translations and do a bit of a study on this text, you will know it doesn't disclose it for us in the text itself. But I can understand that in today's terms, that the Holy Spirit comes and knocks on our hearts faithfully, continually, wanting to respond to His truth. And so God is faithful in calling us back to this truth as we respond. So the second son, he says, I will go. And he does not go. So he responds and says, yes, Father, I'm going. I'm on my way. Myself reggemaak vir werk vandag. But then he does not pitch up in the vineyard, in the work that God has called him. And so that's we see in verse 30. This reveals the character of the Pharisees. Is that they are these religious leaders that started off so well, but they are so complacent in the intent of people's hearts, because it's all about the external, the dresses that they have worn, you know, the Wolfsian bulkies, you know, they everybody must know, you know, that they are the leaders, that they are the ones that God has called, that knows the Torah, that the Tanakh from beginning to end, that they could have recited the Old Testament from the age of 30. So it's all about these external things, you know, about upholding the laws of God rigorously, you know, and then they would use the laws that God has intended for his people to walk in these parameters and be safe. They have taken these laws and they've made them so high. The barrier of entry was so high that people could not enter the kingdom of God. So only the Pharisees, according to how they have, it's not the right word, but they've abused the words and the laws of the Lord to such an extent that people cannot enter into the kingdom because they've made the barrier of entry so high. I won't name too many churches, but we have so many churches in them today, and we can even here today in this charismatic church, this evangelical church, we can come here and just attend church because we need. We can just come and read and hear the sermon and sing a few songs and just not be changed. So we can fall in that same stream. So we are called, we were once, somebody preached the sermon and the Lord convicted us in our hearts and we repented and we have turned and we have given our lives to Him and we have been baptized, filled with the Spirit. But when we fall back in this lukewarmness, this going about life, because that's what we need to do. But God calls us back. He says, as the Pharisees, they profess to believe Him with their heart. He says, believe me with your life and with your actions. I'm continuing. Nothing has changed today. Many of us profess to know God, but our works are so far from Him. We're not obedient to Him. Maybe that's not all of us here today, but that's surely the world out there which God wants us to impact. Wants to let them know that if you just say that you are a follower of Jesus, but you're not attending church, you do not love Him, you're not connected in a fellowship, and you're not read the Word, and there's not a transformation of the Spirit work within you, you're not a child of God. A child of God adheres to these things. God calls us to do these things. We're not a child of God when we do these things. We're a child of God through what Jesus has done on the cross. And then the fruit in our life is an outflow of these things. He brings them to the fore. He wants us to read the Scriptures. He wants us to know Him. So in verse 31, like I've just said, so the door to enter the kingdom in verse 31 is still open for you and I, as well it was for the Pharisees. Jesus did not close the door to enter into the kingdom for the Pharisees. He actually just pointed to them that you are your own obstacle. You're your own obstacle for not entering into the kingdom. Because what John then came to do, he preached a baptism of repentance, and they were like, wow, people are abstaining from sexual conduct and those things. People came and they're like, are they going to lay it down? And John baptized them. So God was doing a work in through the ministry of John. But now when Jesus brings the story to the fore, they're like, oh no, we're not too sure what you are trying to say. We're not too sure if what John did was actually powerful and was actually impactful. And people repented and their lives were turned around. Now they are singing another song. And we have heard the saying many times that actions speak louder than words. I think fundamentally if we read this parable as well, it says that the proof is in the act. And so actions speak louder than words. I have heard so many times that people in my life, especially my father, and I honor him, and he was a good father. But when I was young, he promised that he was going to be at my birthday, and he never pitched up, I think for 2 or 3 birthdays. He said he's going to come, and he's on his way, and he never pitched up. And so as minuscule as that might seem, that had a very big impact on a 7-year-old boy, where I was expecting my father to be there, and he never pitched. So what this parable is trying to tell us today is that we should not just say that we are followers of the Lord. We should not just say all these beautiful things or come to the fellowship here, the celebration on this Sunday, just sing because we need to. He says, no, let your heart be known. Sing with the true intent of your heart. And so this morning, I'm almost finished. What are the differences between these two sons? So the one repents of his sin and he goes eventually to the work that his father asked him to do. The other one does not do that. The one overcomes and changes from bad to good. He realizes, he repents, and he goes to what his father asked him to do. And the last point is that he brings forth fruit of repentance by doing what he needed to do. So he goes, he repents, he overcomes, and there's change. And then he brings forth, and we see this fruit worthy of repentance in his life. So this morning I want to bring this last scripture before you. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, and Paul pleads with the church in Rome, and he says to them, I appeal to you therefore, brothers. And this is Paul appealing to us here in this church today as well. He says, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. He says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That by the testing of the genuineness of your faith, that you can discern the will of God, what is good and acceptable to Him. And so this is a very high stake that the Lord places before us. Paul reinforces. He says, be faithful, come to the Lord. He will transform us. He will renew our mind if we trust in Him, if we ask Him. It's as simple as trusting and asking and praying. Say, Lord, here am I. I've tried many times, but I need you today to do that in-depth work in my heart. There's so many friends and people that I'm trusting the Lord for to do this initial work in their lives. And I want you that if you have those people in your lives, to trust the Lord. Continue to pray for them. That the Lord will work this deep work in their hearts and in their spirits. and that the outflow of their life will be having this fruit that the world sees and tastes, and they're like, this guy is different. There's something different to this guy. And I think we all know of people and ourselves of these things in our lives as a testimony. So, small application this morning. Let's bow our knee and let's say, Lord, here am I. It's as simple as that. Come to the Lord, bow the knee, and say, Lord, here am I. I want to pray for us this morning. And if anything that I've said this morning has ministered to you, I want you to step out in faith. And let's pray for you here in the front. Amen. Lord, you are indeed faithful in who you say we are as your children, but also in who you are. The one that sets us free. Lord, I'm thinking of this picture that you've shown me where we are. We this world is in shackles. And Lord, sometimes it comes also into the church, but you have the keys to unlock these shackles. And so Lord, we pray this morning that you will come and unlock these shackles in our lives. So we want to simply just come before you this morning and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. I'm bowing my knee. I'm humbling myself for you to change and do a work that is everlasting in our lives. We give you all the praise and glory, and we pray that you will remain faithful over the work that you've started in our lives. That you will continue it. That you'll do it for those in and around our circles, in our families, those that we love. We give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.